How are we doing today? This is a really sweet moment. I give thanks to Jordan for allowing me to speak one last time on my last Sunday, so I'm really thankful. Thank you so much. Today, I want to start with three verses to start it off. Luke 10:17-20. Then 70 returned of joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Then he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subjects to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Has anyone ever been to the Tetons, like the mountains? A couple. If you don't know what the Tetons are, it's a 40-mile-long mountain range just south of Yellowstone. The Tetons are famous for their dramatic and jagged mountain peaks. These peaks rise straight up from the Flat Valley floor. This was a problem in the 1800s when westward immigrants started heading west. They purposely avoided the Tetons due to its terrain. Today I want to talk about, who are you, Great Mountain? As Christians, I feel like we can relate to these people moving westward. God has called each and every one of us to do something for him. We have something that will always try to get in our way and halt that calling. What we have to realize, though, is when we follow God's will, there will always be mountains in the way. Example is David. David's my personal favorite example of this. But you can also look at Paul as well. David was called to be king at the age of 10 through 18. We don't know exactly. He didn't become king until he was in his 30s. Through these years, though, David dealt with a bunch of different mountains. We see David fight a bear, a lion, a giant, and a king who wanted him dead. And finally, David became king. What I like so much about David is that his attitude towards the mountains he faced. We see it in 1 Samuel 17:36-37. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David the Lord who delivered me from, or David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Me personally, if I was fighting Goliath, I think I would talk to God saying, "I think I'm unqualified for this. You just had me tending sheep, and now you want me to kill a giant?" Let me say this right now, though. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. David wasn't even able to fit in the king's armor, and yet God still used him. We can't let the size of the mountain dictate our walk with God. David could have told King Saul that he wanted to back out. Instead, he trusted God and followed his will. Too many times we try to go around the mountain instead of going through it. When we try to take our own path instead of doing God's, we just land a bit off from where God wanted us to be. What we have to realize is that our God is bigger than any mountain that stands before us. If we are following God's will, there is nothing that can harm us. Goliath fell, the walls of Jericho fell, so will that mountain too that stands before you. You just have to trust God and walk with him. Moving the mountain isn't the call, though. It's a byproduct of following God's will and his calling. God's going to do the work. We just have to let him move, and we just have to sit, listen, and follow. David's calling wasn't to kill Goliath. It was to be a king. Moses wasn't called to set the plagues of Egypt. He was called to lead Israelite out of Egypt. We put the mountain to God, and we have to work, and we have to have him work in it. Mountains sometimes can fit into categories, I feel like. One category is that we create them ourselves. There's a natural mountain, I would say, and then a third is a mountain created by the enemy. The first subject I want to talk about is the ones that we create ourselves. Mountains created by us is usually something that we put on a pedestal that shouldn't be in high places, something you're not willing to let go and trust God. Examples: a hobby, a job, a sin, your phone, anything that is placed high that drives you further from God. The way we beat this mountain, though, is through seeking serious repentance, looking for God daily, and tearing down those things that you put on altars that aren't of God. Natural mountains are situations outside of your control. These situations sit in God's hands. The only thing that you can do in natural mountains is pray, read, and fast. You must wait for God and his guidance. Wait until he opens a door for you to walk through. Mountains of the enemy, the last one. These mountains is just stuff that you know should not be in the way of your walk with God. Example, once I was in high school at one point in my life. I was in a couple of clubs at high school, and one of them, they invited me to go to the wilderness at Wisconsin Dells. Of course, I'm going to take it. Who wouldn't? We've got to skip some school days. That's pretty awesome. Of course, I went on that trip. During the trip, though, God got brought up. Eventually, a girl in the group said how spirits scare her, and it causes her, like, distress. I turned to her saying that those spirits aren't really that scary. Her response was, "Luther, you think you can defeat mountains?" My response was, "Yes, but it's not just because of me. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. The only way to be a mountain from the enemy is through the name of Jesus." Mark 16:17-18 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poisons. It will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." In Acts 28, we see Paul is on a road to minister in Rome. But he's been shipwrecked on an island called Malta. There he was bitten by a venomous snake, but he doesn't die. Instead, he shakes it off, and it falls into the fire and burns up. Paul was on a mission. He was not focused on the snake. We cannot be hung up on the mountains that stand before us. So who are you, Great Mountain? Who are you to say that I can't start a P7? Who are you to say I can't start a Bible study? Who are you to say this person in my family will not be healed? I know a God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the God with all power, the one who defeated death and rose again. Who are you? Thank you. At this time, I'm going to have Jordan come.